You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Darwin Zook. Thanks for tuning in to MLB Extras podcast, Diamondbacks edition. Pleased to be joined by D-backs reporter once again, Steve Gilbert. Steve, thanks for taking the time, my friend. Since we spoke last week, the D-backs did make a move, inking third baseman Eduardo Escobar to a three-year deal. Escobar came over midseason from the Twins. What about his performance? Made Arizona want him back, and will he even, you know, improve from what he did at the second half of last season now that he's comfortable within the team structure?
Yeah, Darwin, they were excited when they got him last year. They heard nothing but good things from previous teams he had been with, the Twins, the White Sox, about what kind of teammate he was and the presence in the clubhouse, as well as being a good player. And he fit in immediately in the clubhouse. You know, we talked to him a couple of days ago when he signed the extension, and he had said that, you know, right away he felt at home and kind of felt like this was a good place for him. And he felt like his family was made to feel welcome. And so he immediately said he started thinking about, wow, he'd like to stay and if possible. And the Diamondbacks, as time went on, you know, were interested. They liked how he had performed. And then when they realized they could get him at a really, what's a reasonable rate, at $21 million over 3 years for a player of his caliber is very reasonable. They jumped at that opportunity, given his performance, his positional flexibility, and all the other factors.
No question about it. And you mentioned an interesting thing with Escobar that sometimes gets overlooked. We look so much at analytics and numbers, but how someone fits in the clubhouse is very important. How does the deal affect trying to sign Paul Goldschmidt to a long-term contract or even someone like Jake Lamb? Is there any connection there, or is this just a separate entity? It's a good deal, player and team, and now they can move forward, look at some other things.
I think, you know, one of the things that general manager Mike Hazen cautioned us about doing was trying to read too much into it, because I think a lot of us are still trying to figure out, you know, what direction the Diamondbacks are going to go in. Are they going to do more of a rebuild, more of a still trying to win a division next year? And he said, you know, that decision still hasn't been made. This keeps open a lot of different options, though, for them. You know, you referenced a couple players there, Paul Goldschmidt. If they were to decide to trade Paul Goldschmidt, which I still think is a long shot, they could slide Jake Lamb over to first base, and Escobar could play third base on a regular basis, and Jake could play first base. If they decide to trade a guy like Nick Ahmed at short, they can slide Ketel Marte over the shortstop, and Escobar could play second because they expect Lamb to come back healthy. They could even do something, you know, they're probably going to lose A.J. Pollock in center field. They could even move Ketel Marte to center field if they wanted to, and then Escobar could play second base. It gives them a lot of different options and a lot of different ways that they can go. And getting him at an affordable price was a key part of that. So I don't think it limits them in any way. I actually think it just kind of keeps all their options open, even more so gives them some other opportunities to do things.
Then you mentioned price, payroll flexibility. Obviously, that plays a factor, but is that something that's it's known right now in the offseason, and then you kind of go into winter meetings and you can say, okay, this is what we have, this is what we're able to do at this point? Or is it a kind of a fluid situation with payroll flexibility where you're always kind of judging where you stand and what you can spend in that moment?
Right. I think the Diamondbacks, and I'm not sure if other teams are like this, it sounds it's an interesting way of doing it. Mike Hazen says he doesn't have a budget yet. What he talked to ownership about a couple weeks after the season ended was, you know, what direction do we want to go in? And the consensus was, get a feel for the market, both the trade market, what some of their players, whether it's a Goldschmidt or an Ahmed or a Peralta, what they would be worth in the trade market, and then get a sense for kind of how the free agent market is shaping up. And once you do that, then we'll come up with a budget, depending on whether or not you believe, talking about Hazen and his staff, that we can compete in 2019, or if it's better to take a little bit of a step back and maybe trade some of these guys if they can get some good things for him. So they had a club by far a club record opening day payroll, about 135 or so last year. As for what it'll be next year, that is still to be determined.
And something still to be determined is who's going to be the hitting coach next season for the Diamondbacks. Dave Magadan out as hitting coach with Arizona. Any names that have surfaced or that they're looking at intently for next season?
It's been pretty quiet on that front. This front office does a very good job of keeping things quiet. The Escobar signing kind of came out of nowhere. And so they tend to handle their business very quietly. So I would imagine Tim Laker, their assistant hitting coach, has been talked to. They hope to have something in the next week, maybe week and a half, as far as announcements go with the hitting coaches. They're still in the process of interviewing people. So I think it's a big hire for them, and it's going to be interesting to see who it is that they choose. They do tend to look at internal candidates as well. So Laker would probably be one. They might have a person or two in the minor league system that they want to take a look at. But apparently those interviews have already been ongoing.
Talking with D-backs reporter Steve Gilbert. And Steve, last question for you. I'm sure every time we talk, I'll ask you about Paul Goldschmidt because he's that big a name. And it's just, and we talked a little bit before, but what does your gut tell you right now as we sit here getting ready for game two of the World Series? And there's still a long way to go in the offseason, just getting cranking for Arizona. But what does your gut tell you about how the team's going to proceed with Goldschmidt this season and going into the future?
My gut would tell me that they are going to listen on him, possibly for the first time ever in terms of what other teams would be willing to part with for him. But I think still dealing him is a long shot. I think there's a lot that would have to happen for that to take place. They would have to really be overwhelmed with a package, and ownership would have to sign off. I think that would be a very difficult decision for them to get rid of, you know, a guy that's kind of the face of the franchise as well as such a great player. So my gut tells me he'll be in the Diamondbacks uniform next year. I would imagine if they haven't already, they will feel him out about an extension and see what that would cost before making any decisions, and see if that can fit into their budget. Not sure if it can or not, but that would be my gut, is that he comes back at least for next season.
Well, that's a relief, I think, for the Diamondback fans listening to hear that a little bit. And if there's any problems, they can go right to you, right?
That's right. I've got everyone's hopes up now. So if he gets traded, yeah. I want to get hammered. I understand. But that is what my gut feeling tells me.
All right. Perfect. Hey, Steve, thanks very much for the time, as always, my friend. We appreciate it.
Always a lot of fun. Thanks, Darren.
For sure. Steve Gilbert joining us on MLB Extras.